I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Okay, so there's been a few things that have happened over the past couple weeks, but the biggest one is that we are, what just passed was September 11th, and it was the 20th anniversary of that day. It was nice to see. I gotta say, it was nice to see people, what seemed to be coming together to celebrate that. And I felt like a part of a country that wasn't being torn apart from the inside out for a day. So that was nice.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
Yeah.
But I can't believe it's been 20 years. Like it doesn't feel like that. And I don't understand it because in my brain, I can think about where I was, what was happening. And like it was yesterday, but then you look at it and you're just like, holy shit, so much time has passed, but yet no time has passed at all.
No.
Yeah.
Which is real wild to think about. I don't know, man. I don't know.
It was a wild time. Yeah. Where, I mean, we could start with that. Where I was in class, I was in junior college and we were in our first class of the day. And yeah, we were all Central Standard Time. You were still in New York, right, Chair?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it was 2001. I thought you were in Texas by then.
No, it was, that was 90. It happened in one,
2001.
2001. I came down to Texas, but then I went back.
That's right. You said that before that you were like upstate. Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Because you've never been to Manhattan, which is so wild to me.
It is. So I was about 2.5 hours, 3 hours away from the city when it happened, but it felt like I was there anyways, because the way that it like happened and the way that, and then you had like, I was at work at the time, and I came back into work, and everyone's like, no one's there. The whole place is empty, right? And then I'm like, where the fuck is everybody? And I walk into the lobby thing where there's a TV and everyone is glued to the TV. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then there's a guy who starts like going door to door and screaming that we're under attack and they're attacking us. And like, I was just like, it was such a surreal moment. Cause you're just like, no one knew what was going to happen. Everyone thought like the same thing. This guy was like freaking out. Everyone's like, this is the end of fucking, this is the start of World War III. And to be that close to it, even though it's so far away, it felt everything is cemented in the brain, in those moments. And it was just absolutely wild. The world fucking stood still. So that's where I was.
I was at school. I was in, I think, my freshman year of high school. And I forget what class I was in. But at the time, you know, we're in school. We don't really know what's happening because it's high school, you know, and so someone's like,
cell phones.
Yeah, no one had, yeah, exactly. And I remember someone being like, a plane just crashed into the World Trade Center. And, you know, we're thinking like a small private plane, you know? And so we're all kind of like, you know, I don't want to say joking, but kind of like, how dumb do you have to be to fly a plane into the, like, it's a big fucking building. How dumb do you have to be? And there was a girl in my class whose like uncle was like a pilot who often flew to New York. And so she's like panicking. And I remember being like, what type of plane does your uncle fly? Like, there's no way a commercial airliner just crashed into a building. That's not what anyone was thinking. I was like, hey, we have to worry about this. And then she was like, no, like, because I think she did have a cell phone. It was, you know, 2001. People had cell phones. There was those brick Nokias or whatever. And she's like, no, I think someone, I think it was like a commercial jet. And I was like, what the fuck? And then like around the schools, people were getting updates, or there were some people who were in class with TVs and stuff, like as stuff started going around. Like, I remember the announcements coming on, and it was like, teachers, like, hold students. We're like, what the fuck? Like, we're going to delay moving to the next class. Please give us a few minutes. And it was like, the fuck is going on? And then I remember transferring to my next class a couple minutes later, which was like a geography or geology class, I forget which one. And that teacher had a TV, and it was on the news in that room. And so, you know, we watched the second plane hit, and then we watched them, the towers fall. Like, and at that point, like, it's just dead silent. You know, the whole school is just like enraptured. Just everyone's quiet. And also, like, at that point, a lot of announcements of like, so-and-so, please come to the office. You know, your parents are here to pick you up. So-and-so, please come, you know, like, kids are starting to be pulled out of school because parents don't know what's going on. And since we live in the DFW area, we have Lockheed Martin, you know, a huge government, like, contract, like, you know, facility. And then also not far from there, like, Carswell Air Force Base. So, like, if all these kids who have family that either work at Lockheed Martin building planes for the government, or we have people that are at the fucking Air Force Base, right? So it's like all of a sudden kids just started being pulled out of class. And people, because again, no one knows what's going on. So they're like, people like, oh shit, what's going to happen next? Because no one fucking knew. And I'll say, I was, my parents made me, I did band and stuff. I played saxophone like in middle school. And so in freshman, my parents were like, you're going to keep doing band. And I was like, I don't want to. So I was in marching band, but I never marched because I never went. Mm-hmm. But it did get me into football games for free. But I was at one of the, I didn't go to the summer camp stuff for it. So I marched, right? So I would assist with like the drum crew, like helping them get their drums and stuff set up and like moving the stuff out to the practice area. And then I would just sit and just hang out. And I remember in the mornings how eerie it was the week following that there were no airplanes in the sky flying overhead, when again, we are not too far away from the Air Force Base. And that's one place where even today, like I live farther away from there, you can still hear those planes going off and flying around. Like, it's just all of a sudden you'll be outside and you'll just hear these fucking bombers and shit fly, like take off and do their test runs and shit. So it was so fucking weird that at like 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, there was nothing. That's dead silence. It was fucking wild.
Yeah. Man. So I was in class when it happened, and I had a friend who would always listen to Man Cow in the morning. So he's three desks down from me and has one earbud in. And then all of a sudden he gets up and goes to the back of the class and puts both earbuds in. Like, the teacher just didn't give a shit. But yeah. And then he just out of nowhere, he's like, the world, you know, he talked about the attack and everyone's kind of freaking out. And so basically, yeah, it was the same kind of deal with Doug. Everyone kind of piled around this TV and just tried to like learn the information from there. But in Chicago, I mean, and we were being told in Chicago downtown, it had to be evacuated because once they thought, you know, a threat could be coming Chicago's way as well. They were hitting major cities. So I worked down like near downtown, and I remember getting off of like getting out of school, and I'm like, hey, do you need, you know, am I working today? And they're like, well, we're getting shut down like as of now, and we're being evacuated because there could be an attack. And man, you're right. No planes in the sky. Just nothing. Like, there was no, you couldn't watch, you couldn't turn any channel on. MTV, basically, I think anything but Nickelodeon, you know, like kids stations were showing news. And man, it was a wild time. Like, I just remember being so surreal and just like listening to NPR the whole time, trying to make sense of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just like nobody had information, you know?
I think we forget as well, like, even following that, like, you brought up a good point about the thought of attacks. Like, there was other reports that more attacks were coming. And so a lot of stuff got shut down like that. And then I completely forgot about this, but like all the white powder that was being sent to like all the high ranking officials and all that stuff. You remember that? Like, what was it called that they
were? Anthrax.
Anthrax. Yeah. So there was the big anthrax threats and everything like that. And fuck, man, it's just a wild time. Absolutely it's wild time.
Coming out of the freedom of the 90s, I would say, if you were around to experience that. I mean, yeah, definitely there was a tone shift in that after September 11th. And then we've turned into the kind of fear state that we've become now because of such things and such actions since. So, I mean, that was the catalyst, I would say, 2001, really, September 11th.
And then, of course, that brought
tone.
That brought new 9/11, then brought new new law into place, new laws, a giant book that no one read that essentially gave the U.S. power to spy on anyone and everyone.
And, Patriot Act.
Yeah, the Patriot Act.
Which I find like today to be humorous because you have all these senators and stuff whose phone records are being turned over due to the January 6th insurrection, and they're like, you can't sequester my phone, Bill. It's like, motherfucker, did you not read the Patriot Act that you signed in the law? Yeah, they fucking can, bud. Sorry, bud. Yep, that applies to you too.
Yep, you are a fucking citizen. Idiot.
Which will be fun if it turns around to bite all of them in the ass. I mean, it won't because it's American politics and nothing's going to happen. But it would be fun if it did.
Mm-hmm. Yep, indeed. It'd be really fun. I'd stand on my soapbox and be like, ha ha ha, motherfuckers!
Look what you did to yourself. You did this to yourself.
Yeah. So that was crazy. I don't know what else to add for that. Is there anything else going on that that we can maybe lighten the mood for after? After that, any fun things going on? Let's
talk about the PlayStation event and all the fucking sick-ass games that PlayStation announced.
Yeah, that was pretty dope. Yeah,
that was pretty fucking awesome. Okay, so what is your... Oh, fuck, I forgot about that, too. Man, 9/11 was such a big thing. Okay. What games were you most excited about?
All of them. No.
even GTA 5?
Yeah. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Another GTA 5 for PlayStation 5. No. Spider-Man 2.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. You didn't lead with KOTOR?
Well, thanks for ruining my. You just stopped me dead in my tracks.
Well, I mean, that's because I was so fucking disappointed in you.
Well, KOTOR, obviously. Yes, duh. But I was going to say, so Spider-Man 2, because Spider-Man 2, we actually kind of got a little bit of a trailer. The other ones are just kind of like, oh, look at this thing that we're doing. I just want to say, there's a guy talking, right? And it's like, oh, Spider-Man, like, I'm looking for a worthy opponent. Mm-hmm. And then it shows us
Venom.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that's not fucking Venom's voice. Mm-mm. Like, Eddie Brock isn't Russian. Well, or Russian sounding and all that stuff. So some coworkers and I were talking, and we think that trailer is a misdirect. Yes, Venom's going to be in it. Yes, Venom's going to be a bad guy. Is he going to be the ultimate bad guy, though?
No.
You know, who knows? I think it's gonna be Kraven the Hunter. The whole, like, because he's always looking for an opponent strong enough to fight him, and all, like, all the things that dude said that, well, clearly wasn't Eddie Brock. But it would also be interesting if there's, like, a symbiote Kraven, like that would be fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
How crazy would it be if this leads to what they're doing with the kind of the movie where you get to play as Venom because he's an anti-hero because he has to defeat Kraven as well. Like so he becomes a focus of either a spinoff or Spider-Man 3. Maybe Spider-Man and Miles are captured, and all of a sudden you get to take on Venom, because how fucking cool would that be?
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be different. Like, that'd be a different route to go, because you're like, all right, well, you know, Spider-Man's awesome and stuff. We've played him. Like, I'm sure, like, maybe half the game you play as him and stuff. But it'd be cool. That's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, but I'm just curious what they're going to do with both Spider-Mans. Like, is it going to be like, you know how in the last game, or both of them, where it'd be like, okay, so now you're Spider-Man, and then you do stuff in the story, and it's like, okay, now you're Peter Parker, and you've got to do stupid shit as Peter Parker, and then it'd be like, oh, now you're MJ. I'm like, go hang out in the museum and sneak around. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be like, okay, so now you're Peter Parker, Spider-Man. You're doing stuff. And then story-wise, and then it's like, okay, now you're Miles Morales. Or is it going to be like, choose your hero, and you follow a story based more on one character over the other? I'm just curious how they're going to do it.
That'd be really interesting.
Or are we just Peter Parker and Miles is just a part of the story? Like, you gave us Miles Morales. You can't just like take that away. Like, you've introduced. I want to play as Miles. No, because they each have different abilities, right? So like, there's aspects of it too where you'd be like, okay, this mission you need to be stealthy. You need to be fucking Miles Morales. You got to go invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see what they do to it. So I'm excited about that one. Knights of the Old Republic. I mean, all we got was a logo, right? That's essentially, we got logo reveals, but that's all I need. And I don't give a shit if they're at the beginning of development. At least we're getting it. And it is a PS5 console exclusive at launch. Timed exclusive launch. We'll get it for the PC, and we probably will not see it on Xbox because of the fact that it's a Sony game. So,
yeah, I am okay. So I'm curious because it says it's a remake, but at the same time, it's Aspyr or whoever has done, you know, and they've done like Jedi Academy, Jedi Outcast, Jedi Academy. They were in charge of those remakes, but those were just like graphic overhauls,
right. And
not necessarily rebuilds. And so I'm curious, like, I want a ground up. I want them to do like similar to what they did with Spyro, where it wasn't just like, oh, we just made them pretty. It's like they completely rebuilt that game. Now, granted, they copied that game like exactly. Everything was set up the same. I want KOTOR to be the same game, but with new mechanics, like better mechanics, because I think we're so much past the turn-based combat and a more open world and maybe more side quest.
Well, I've got good news for you.
Yes, give it to me.
They did an interview with Sony about this game and what they're going to do, and they're building it from the ground up while keeping the original story. They're going to stay true to the story, but they're making it with modern mechanics and modern gameplay.
So, now, are they going to keep the same voice actors and voices?
I don't know. Probably not. They'll probably, since it's a remake, I'm going to say they'll recast everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe they bring in the voice actors, you know, that were iconic. But you got to remember, most people have not played this game.
Well, and here's the thing. I was thinking about this. Like, so I don't think they put a date on it. Like, let's just say 2023. I know that's way too fucking, like, that's not going to happen that quickly. But if they were to release in 2023, it would be the 20th anniversary of KOTOR. Which made me go,
that's fuck. Yep. Because if you're not in your 30s or 40s, you probably have not played this game. Even if you didn't, was it a PC exclusive or did they bring it to the
Xbox?
It was Xbox. Yeah. So yeah, if you're 30s, 40s, you probably haven't played the game, or if you're under that, you probably haven't played it. So this will be a new experience for you, and you'll just fucking absolutely love it. But.
And the original games are good too. I mean, obviously they're dated. It was before things like Mass Effect. So like, they did this game. Everything is like a one sided conversation. Like, you don't ever hear your character talk, but you do get to choose the dialogue they say.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's in that regard like a little slow because I think the Mass Effect came out and they gave you that, like, you know, you choose a thing and they would say pretty close to whatever you chose, but like. That I remember being like, oh my god, why did they do this in KOTOR? Like, I would have loved to have heard my character actually say the dialogue. It makes it more like, I don't know, it brings you into the story more instead of just like jumping through dialogue trees, just like that, like, I don't, whatever, who cares? More immersive, I guess, is the word I was looking for. So excited for that, obviously. Insomniac also announced that they're working on a Wolverine game.
And we got a logo for that too.
Yeah, and a little bit of a little, like, you know, teaser, like, oh, there's Logan sitting at a bar. And so they clearly beat the fuck out of everyone here. And some dumbass is pulling a knife on him. Like, he's gonna, did you not just see what happened? Like, so that'll be fun. I hope it's as violent as the X-Men Origins Wolverine game. Because you were like hacking off limbs and heads and shit in that game.
Oh, it was so satisfying. It was like God of War with Wolverine.
Yeah, and then the God of War trailer.
That shit got me so hyped.
No shit, man. Like, I loved God of War. It was so good. But one of my biggest complaints, and I think I even said this when I was playing it, was you're in this giant world and it is very empty except for bad guys. Like, there are, you've got the two dwarves, the two sons of Thor, and then like that one guy, and you know, a handful of other characters, but like, where's anyone or everyone else? Like, there's no wildlife, there's no, you know, it was very,
there was a deer
during that one sequence, yeah, at the very beginning
when he went hunting.
And there, oh, there's some birds. You see Odin's ravens fly overhead. Yeah, but like, you know, like, there's like that. But you know what I mean? Like, it's a very you have games like Red Dead and stuff where it's like, let me just, I'm gonna ride from this town to this town, and it's like, oh, look at that stampede of elk or cows or buffalo, and oh, I just ran over a rabbit on accident, and you know, oh, there's. You know, and like, oh, there's some guy who just complimented my horse. Thank you, sir. It is very beautiful. But like,
you need to let that go.
No, my horse is pretty. You shut your fucking mouth, B.
I don't want to get shot.
That was my biggest complaint. But in this trailer, you can see like they've added more to the world. There's actually going to be other NPCs. It looks like you're going to venture off into like a village of big people. Like, there's people, which is exciting.
And then we got gameplay from Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, and so that looks so amazing. D&D in a video game, it's everything we've ever wanted. It's something that we've been asking for since we originally met Tiny Tina and played that DLC.
Dude, seriously, Caleb and I did that DLC about like 2 years ago, and I was like, why is this not a fucking standalone game? And I'm so excited that not only, you know, I was worried that when they announced that Tiny Tina's Wonderlands coming out, that like it wasn't going to be a Borderlands game, like that it was going to be some like maybe top down three quarter view, you know, whatever, shoot 'em up sort of weird, maybe even like, what's that one game? Oh my god, they had like the Mario versus the Rabbids, and then like, it's a, what is that?
Oh,
is that
like the grit, like the strategic, like tactical RPG.
Yeah, I was worried it was going to be something like that. So then seeing that trailer, and it's like, okay, you're just Borderlands in a D&D setting. Mm-hmm. Fuck yes. Like, fuck yeah, I can't fucking wait. And it's going to be did both of y'all play the Tiny Tina's Baddies and Bunkers or whatever it was called?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it was so fucking funny how she would, like, because you're in a D&D game and she's the DM, and how she would just, like, and here it is, the Dragon of Doom. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man, we're level one. Like, all right, some skeletons. Like, the giant dragon that's coming at you, like, just turns into a bunch of skeletons you have to fight. It was so fucking clever.
Yeah. Oh, and I love in this one, Torg, of course, is the bard. They had to make him the bard just so he could mealy, mealy, mealy on that guitar. On the loot, but man, yeah, his role in the DLC was funny too.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. I can't wait. And that's in March. So,
yeah. So that whole thing was phenomenal. 10 out of 10. But we could talk about it forever. Maybe we'll talk about it on Thursday too. But we gotta go.
For sure.
We gotta go. We got things to do. Okay. So Thursday is tomorrow. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.